Okay, so I will be talking about interaction of dissolved organic matter with soil mineral matrices. I will dealing with sorption and desorption of the dissolved organic matter, and I will show you also data about fractionation of the dissolved organic matter during this sorption and desorption processes. I would like to thank the co-author in this study, Adi Oren. He's a postdoc fellow in my group, and he was the one that conducted the entire work. So I will start with a short introduction about DOM, and I will show you some information about the experimental setup that we have used. And I will divide the results to two main sections. In the first one, I will show you results about desorption, desorption, resorption, data for the DOM with the different soils that we have used. And later on, I will show you data about fractionation of the DOM during desorption and the desorption phases. And then in the end, I will conclude. So we know that the desorptive interactions of DOM in soil is highly reactive and dynamic process, and we know that this process is not only important in terms of the fate of the DOM itself, it's also important in determining the fate of other organic pollutants and inorganic pollutants in the soil system. We also know that DOM and soil interactions are mainly controlled by the mineral phases in the soil, and we know also that the level of solid organic matter in the soil, SOM, generally reduced the level of sorption of DOM. And therefore, in our soil or in our system, we have used soil that contain low level of solid organic matter, of soil organic matter, in order to reduce those effects. And the goal of this work was to elucidate the sorption and desorption interaction of DOM with alkaline soil organic matter poor soil and to link them to the mineral phases in the soil and also to the DOM properties. We have used soil cores that were taken from a depth of 90 to 120 centimeters that were collected from agricultural soils in Israel. And the idea to collect the soil from a deeper layer was to obtain real natural soil that contained low level of SOM. And the DOM that we have used has been extracted from a mature composted biosolids. And we have performed a batch sorption desorption experiments where we have, in this first stage, we have used, we have performed a regular sorption phase. And after that, it was followed by four sequential steps of desorption. And then we have reapplied the initial concentration of the DOM to perform the resorption phase. And after that, we have desorbed the DOM again, performing three sequential desorption phases. And so, and we have used DOM solution in a concentration range from 3 to 75 milligram per liter, and we have used 4 days as equilibrium time. And the fractionation data that I'm going to show you was studied using FTIR, and I will show you the FTIR spectra. Just general properties of the soils that we have used. So we have used soils from Akko, which is in the north part of Israel, Batsra, and near Oz. We have one clay soil, clayey soil, and two sandy loam soil. The level of total organic carbon, or the level of SOM in the soil, was very low. It was 0.14 in the Akko soil, and it was 0.08 and 0.08 in the other two soils. So we have a very low amount of natural organic matter. The three soils also vary in the level of metal oxides. In the Akko soil, we have higher content of metal oxide, and followed by the Batsra soil, and near Oz soil contain the lowest level of metal oxide. Another important property is the pH of the soils, which was quite high, starting from 7.8 up to almost 9. This was the pH of the system. In this slide, you can see the sorption isotherms of the DOM to the three different soils. We can see that, and the data that is presented here is the sorption capacity, and absorption affinity that was calculated in for a two equilibrium concentration, 10 milligram per liter of a carbon and 40 milligram per liter of a carbon, and we can clearly see that the absorption affinity for the both the absorption affinity and absorption capacity for the aqueous soil, which is the clayey soil, which was also the soil that contains higher level of metal oxide, was much higher than the other two soil, and there is a nice correlation that I will show you later on between the absorption affinity and the metal oxide content in those two soil, in those three soils. What I'm showing here is I'm skipping at the moment the desorption data. I will go to that later on. I'm showing you here the desorption data as I showed before. I'm focusing at the moment the echo. This is the blue symbols. So those are the. This is the desorption isotherm that I previously showed you, and those empty symbols is the resorption isotherms that was performed after the four sequential desorption steps, and we have it for the aqueous soil, Batra soil, and the near oil soil. Basically, we can see a similar trend, higher absorption affinity and higher absorption capacity for the more clayey and more and the soil that contains higher level of metal oxide, with a similar trend as was observed in the first absorption curve. Here is the same set of data, but in this time we have calculated the data in a different way. In this case, the absorbed amount was calculated in a non-accumulative way. It means that we did not take into the account the residual amount of dissolved organic matter that remained in the soil after the fourth sequential desorption step. So we start from zero. And we can clearly see that now the absorption and the resorption curves really fit one the other. For all three soils, this is the absorption data for the aqueous soil, and this is the resorption data, which filled, and again, for the near oil soil and the Batra soil, they are all fits, the second absorption phase fits the first absorption curve. So we conclude from that that, first of all, the absorption we did not reach to the maximum absorption capacity of the studied soils, and also that the absorbed dissolved organic matter did not modify the surface in terms of absorption reactivity of DOM. So we have enough mineral surfaces that are available for the second and maybe the third absorption phase, and with the same absorption affinity as was in the first absorption curve. And as I said before, we have a nice correlation between the absorption affinity, which is on the left y-axis, or the absorption capacity on the right, and the level of metal oxide, mainly iron oxide, in our system, both for the absorption and for the desorption. So as we increase the soils that contain higher level of metal oxide exhibited higher absorption affinity and higher absorption capacity. We have obtained a similar trend, but it was less significant with clay content, and therefore we assume that the metal oxide are the most important fractions or mineral phases that contribute to absorption affinity as well as to absorption capacity. Now I will move to show you data about the desorption, and as I said, we have two desorption steps, one that has been performed after the first desorption and one that has been performed after the second desorption phase. And so this is the desorption data, and this is the resorption data, and the empty symbols are the sequential desorption steps after each of the desorption phases. And we can clearly see, first of all, that we have obtained high desorption hysteresis for the DOM, both after the absorption phase and also after the resorption phase. And we obtained the data here is for the aqueous soil, but we have obtained a similar set of data for the other two soils, the Batra and the near oil soil. We have exhibited significant hysteresis in the resorption phase and in the absorption phase. And what is even more importantly, that the absorption trend was more or less similar between the absorption phase and the resorption phase. So we have obtained a similar trend, although we have reloaded the soil with dissolved organic matter. we have calculated these option hysteresis, which was basically calculated as the amount of dissolved organic matter that's retained in the soil after the desorption phase. So it was presented as desorption hysteresis in percentage versus the initial concentration of DOM. And we can clearly see that desorption hysteresis increase with increasing concentration up to about 20 milligrams per liter. And from this point on, it was quite stable, around 80% of desorption hysteresis. And we have seen a similar trend with all three different soils, although desorption affinity was different between the three study soils. And we assume that this trend is somehow related to the relatively high level of calcium that we had in our system. We had 3.5 millimolar of calcium in our system. When we reduce the level of calcium to about one-third of that, the level of hysteresis decreased as well. It was still high, but it was decreased. And we assume that the calcium contributes to the system in terms of coagulation or aggregation of the DOM on the surface of the soil, and therefore we have obtained high hysteresis of DOM. However, we have to remember that the calcium concentration that we have used is more or less the typical calcium concentration that we have obtained in Mediterranean soils. So therefore, the data that we can see here about high desorption hysteresis is really what is happening in agricultural fields. I will move now to show you data about fractionation. And as I said, we use FTIR to obtain properties of the dissolved organic matter. And this is the FTIR spectrum of the bulk DOM that, as I said before, was extracted from composted biosolids. In general, I won't go into detail in that slide. Our DOM had a low aliphaticity. The peaks that are related to a vibration of methyl and other carbon functionalities or aliphatic functionalities were rather low, whether and to the other end, the DOM exhibited high level of carboxyl and phenolic functionalities. But this is not important. What is important is to evaluate whether we have some differences between the bulk DOM and the fraction that has been adsorbed or the fraction that has not been adsorbed during the process. And now I'm going to show you data only for the aqua soil, which was the clayey and the soil. And we, in this slide, we can see that the red spectrum is for the non-bound fraction, and the blue spectrum is for the bulk DOM. If we had a similar spectrum, it means that there was no fractionation. But here we can clearly see some differences. The non-bound DOM exhibited high peaks in 1650, which is the carboxylate or carboxylic functionalities, vibration of carboxylic functionality, that usually refer to carboxylic functionalities that can interact in autosphere complexation with the surface. And however, the bulk DOM was more richer with hydroxybenzoic structures, which can undergo more inner sphere complexation with the surface area. And as a result of that, you can see the spectra of the bound DOM. In previous slide, I showed you the spectra of the bulk and the non-bound. Now this is the bound DOM, and we can clearly see that the bound DOM has significant and a dominant peak in 1390, which is referred in the literature to a carboxylic functionality that can go inner sphere complexation with metal oxides and aluminum oxide on the surface. So we do see a clear fractionation during adsorption. And here I compare the bound fraction versus the desorbed fraction. Remember that we have performed adsorption and then desorption steps, and we'd like to see whether we have some kind of a fractionation also during the desorption phase. And we do see a similar trend. The desorbed spectrum is exhibited dominant peak in 1650, again, outer sphere complexation of the carboxylate functionality, which was released from the surface. However, the bound DOM was characterized by the dominant peak in 1390, and this peak was not released during the desorption phase, and we know from the literature again that this peak is referred to carboxylic functionality that undergo inner sphere complexation, and we can also see that peaks that are related to or assigned to phenolic functionalities did not release during the desorption phases. Here we compare the bound DOM from the three soils, and we can clearly see a similar picture. Again, they are all dominant with a peak that was characterized to hydroxybenzoic acid that can undergo inner sphere complexation with iron and aluminum oxide in the soil. And the desorption, the desorbed fraction was dominate with peaks in 1650, which is carboxylate, which probably interact with outer sphere complexation with metal oxide. So we can clearly see that we do see desorption, or we do see zorption and fractionation, and fractionation occurs both in, during the zorption phase and also during the desorption phases. We also see some kind of a fractionation in terms of aromaticity and molecular size. In general, we can see that some selectivity for zorption of more aromatic functionalities, and we assume that these are phenolic moieties of the DOM, and we also see some favorable zorption of larger DOM structure as compared to a release of a lower size DOM. So, going to the conclusion, our DOM zorption data was correlated with the level of metal oxide, and this was reported in the literature mainly for pure minerals, and here we can see that also for a bulk soil. And we assume that the irreversible binding of DOM did not reduce and or change the overall surface properties with respect to zorption reactivity. So therefore, the second zorption phase exhibited the similar zorption properties as the first zorption phase. And also we suggest that the ultimate zorption capacity that is usually calculated from a single zorption cycle does not really reflect the overall capacity of a soil, and we suggest that you should perform some kind of a multi-zorption steps in order to assess the real DOM field zorption capacity. In terms of fractionation, our data suggests the involvement of hydroxybenzoic structures in the DOM zorption, and those are the main structures that perform surface complexation with metal oxide, and those are the fractions that retained in the soil and did not release during the four or even seven sequential desorption steps that we have performed. So this DOM or those DOM moieties or those DOM structures are really retained in the, or sequestered in the soil for a long period of time. And we also believe that the high carboxylic and phenolic contents along with the high pH that increase the reactivity of the phenolic moieties in our DOM were the main factor behind the recorded zorption irreversibility. And I would just like to acknowledge BARD for funding our project and Adi, who is standing over here, that has performed this work. Thank you for listening. We have 2 minutes for questions, so if there are any questions, yes, please.
The hydroxybenzoic
acid unit assumes derived from originally from centralized structures, or can you parse that out as a stabilization of centralized structures in DOM?
We assume that those benzoic structures reflected the high maturity of the compost, and therefore they are present in the dissolved organic matter that we have used. And we assume that they will be accumulating in the soil for a long period of time.
Yes, Joe. Is it possible to displace the DOM with chemical hydroxybenzoate
We have tried once with a reference compounds, and we had to use very high concentrations, and we got a mixed result. So, but we have referred to a peak assignment based on people that have used pure minerals and pure compounds. So we did not get any concrete results when we used those compounds in our soil system. You and you're after.
When you mentioned the benzoic acid, so you talk about the industrial complex versus other carboxyl groups. So I'm trying to picture the complex. So for the single carboxyl groups, you know, you have this open called unidentate complex. For your benzoic acid, are we talking about, you know, like bipolydentate complexing,
yeah,
which makes light reversible?
Yeah, this is what we are assuming, that is by interactions with the surface, and therefore perform inner complex that are very that are not easily released from the materials. What we are conducting now, we are trying to work with model compounds in order to verify that. This is only assumption based on peak assignment. So we are trying to work with model compounds to make sure that this is the right data. Yes, please.
I may have missed it because I came in late, but did you look at correlations between the sorption and the soil carbon?
And the soil, actually, we have used in our soil soils that contain low amount of solid organic matter. So therefore, we
soluble?
No, the SOM level, the total organic carbon in our soil system were extremely low, and therefore we did not look for any correlation with that.
Yeah, but I did notice that it was almost doubled in the clay soil as opposed to the...
But when we measure how much of the solid organic matter has been released during our sorption and desorption experiments, the level was extremely low in all three soils, and it was the same. So there was no correlation with the SOM in terms of favorable or irreversible absorption that we have obtained. I think that we are right on time for the next presentation.